What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Good Monday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've tuned in this afternoon. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, I want to continue with our series on the Word of God. Specifically, how do we interpret, how do we understand the Word of God? Now, this is an important subject because there are many out there today who are skeptical about the possibility of an objective interpretation of the Word of God. In fact, they even deny that the Word of God is public objective truth. And quite often what you'll hear from these people is that it's arrogant. It is arrogant beyond belief to claim that you can know for certain what the Bible actually says about this or that thing. And so people promote a kind of skepticism when it comes to the Bible. All we have are people's interpretations. And oftentimes people's interpretations don't agree. And so there is no possibility of a public objective truth in the Word of God. There is no truth outside of ourselves. It's all subjective. So they say. However, I'm putting to you that the Word of God itself gives us hope for an objective interpretation of Scripture. It gives us certainty. The Word of God itself shows the way forward through this. The Word of God itself gives us principles for understanding the Word of God. The Word of God gives us direction in how to understand the Word of God. We could call this a presuppositional approach to the truth of Scripture. In other words, we don't approach the Bible from man's perspective, from man's reason, from, say, for instance, principles of literary criticism that you might use in university or wherever else to look at a piece of work by Shakespeare. No, we take the Word of God as something different, as something on its own terms. We start with the Word of God when we want to understand the Word of God. It's so crucially important. And as we've been doing that, we've been using the book written by Dr. Gridanis, Scripture Principles for Scripture Interpretation. And as I mentioned last week, that book was originally written in Dutch. It's not translated into English, unfortunately. But I do have a English summary available on my website. This is the resource website that I have. That's www.breidenhoff.ca. Breidenhoff is spelled Breidenhoff.ca. You'll also be able to find a link to that on the Gospel Talk blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, or just Google Gospel Talk Radio and you'll find the website, the blog, and you'll be able to find the links to the English summary of what we're doing here on this program. Well, we've come to the fifth point that Gridanis wants to make about Scripture principles for Scripture interpretation, and that's that everything revealed in Scripture must be seen and understood in connection with Christ. Now, that is so critically important if you want to understand the Bible. Everything centers around Christ. Everything has to be understood in connection with Him. The center of the contents of the Bible, says Gridanis, is the self-revelation of God in Christ. Everything in the Bible is connected to this in some way, shape, or form. And the key text in that regard is John 5:39. John 5:39, Jesus says to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders of His day, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me." The Lord Jesus says there that the Scriptures testify about Him. Revelation 19, verse 10 is another passage mentioned by Gridanus. And in Revelation 19, 10, we find that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And therefore, every passage of Scripture must always be seen in connection with Christ, because its stated aim is to show us the glory and necessity of Christ's person and the glory and necessity of Christ's work. Now, there are other passages that could also be mentioned there. We could think of John 5:46 and Acts 10:43. But the crucial point there is that indeed, everything comes back to Christ. Everything points to him. And what happened through God's providence and as part of his special revelation belongs to the whole of God's self-revelation in Christ. And therefore, when we look at the narratives or the stories of the Bible, we don't look at them as being independent, self-existing things given to teach us a moral lesson about this or a moral lesson about that. But we look at those narratives, those stories, always in their relation to and their significance for the entire self-revelation that God has given in Christ. And so let me give a few examples of how that works. We have the story of Melchizedek. In Genesis 14, Abraham meets this mysterious figure, Melchizedek. Well, when we read Genesis 14, we read that in connection with what Hebrews 7 has to say, connecting Melchizedek to Christ, that Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, we have the story of Jonah and the prophecy of Jonah. Well, we read that in the light of what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12, 39 to 40. He says that a greater than Jonah has come, and so on. You have the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. Well, we consider that in connection with passages like Luke 4, 24 to 27, or Mark 7, 24 to 30. The Syrophoenician woman who lived in the same region as the widow of Zarephath. Now, all these connections are there, and they set the pattern for us to follow in our interpretation. And therefore, we have to see these stories in the Old Testament always in connection with the self-revelation of God in Christ in them. There are other examples that are given by Gridanus. He mentions the destruction of Sodom in Genesis 19 with Luke 17, 26 to 28. In Luke 17, 26 to 28, we read these words. Lord Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. So the flood, we read that in connection with these verses. And then Jesus goes on, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. And we could give other examples as well. And this principle of focusing everything on Christ includes not just historical events, but also information or statements that were included with them. Gridanus gives the example of Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham being declared righteous by God. Well, you can't read that passage without also considering what it says in Romans 4, 23 to 24. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It calls for carefulness interpretation. In interpretation, we have to watch for a false human-invented spiritualizing, says Gridanus, that goes against the intent and meaning of Scripture. We have to be sober. We have to check what we think about the text with the rest of the Bible. You can't allegorize or spiritualize a passage, but only when Scripture itself indicates that that is to be done. And there are a number of examples of that. Now, in connection with this, there's also the principle that we must see the words in Scripture addressed to specific persons as spoken also to those who come after them, including ourselves. So Gridanus gives the example of Matthew 22, verse 31. In Matthew 22, verse 31, we read, "But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Those words are also addressed to us. Same thing with Matthew 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. That warning that was issued to the Pharisees is also a warning for us. The application is not something we add, but it flows from God's word itself, and it's also addressed to us. And finally, on this particular point, since we live in the time and the dispensation of the New Testament, this is the era of fulfillment, that means that we read the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. And by doing this, we receive clearer insight. For instance, Matthew 11, verse 11. In Matthew 11, verse 11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We see God's revelation in a clearer and deeper sense than the Old Testament believers who were addressed first so many years ago. Since God gave his revelation through the service of man, we can distinguish between the meaning and intention of God, who is the primary author, and that of the secondary human authors. Okay, there are two authors when it comes to Scripture. God is the primary author, and man is the secondary author. And the secondary authors didn't always understand or grasp what it was they were writing about. But the primary author did. God, the Holy Spirit, he knew exactly what he was saying. And so when it comes to Scripture, the most important thing for us is the meaning intended by God, whether the secondary authors understood it or not. Moreover, through the New Testament fulfillment, a much clearer light has been given to us. And this relates back to the principle that I mentioned last week and that I'm going to be mentioning several times to try and drive this home, is that Scripture must interpret Scripture. And that's just another way of saying that you need to have context when you interpret the Bible, when you try to understand the Bible. And that's why it's so important that we be diligent students of the Word, that we be digging in the Scriptures regularly so that, you know, when we come to a difficult passage, we can connect it with another passage which may shed light on it and help us to understand it. Well, I hope this program today has been of benefit to you, a blessing to you, and I hope you'll join me again tomorrow at 2:45. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you in every single way.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning, right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.